Holy One, may these scriptures that have been opened to us, the words that come from our scripture and from my mouth that will be spoken, the thoughts that are in each of our hearts and minds, may they lead us to a deeper understanding of you and of ourselves. Amen. So once again, I'm going to ask if you would dispense your disbelief and imagine with me that we are hearing from the Samaritan woman. It's not that far, really. The well isn't in the village, as you might expect, but it is not that far away. And since the well has history attached to it, and it continues to provide plenty of water, no one will dig a new one just for the convenience of the women. It's not that far, but the walk at midday with the hot sun burning down, even that empty jug feeling heavy. It's an everyday chore to draw water from the well. The women go early in the morning, chatting about their plans for the day, laughing about the antics of their children, moaning about the demands of their husbands, helping one another to fill their jugs, and enjoying companions and conversation. I could go early in the morning, but the conversations would be muted, whispers instead of laughter, sly looks and stiff nods, the only acknowledgement I would get, for I am one of those women. Although I am the victim of my father's choices and misfortune, I am the one who has had too many husbands and bear the reputation of a prostitute. In our culture, and in many cultures, a woman without a man is limited in what she can do, in how she can support herself and her family. I could be the woman in the Sadducees story, you know, the one whose husbands kept dying before giving her a son, the one who has passed away and has been passed from one brother to another, the brothers dying until there was no brothers left alive, no one left to marry, no husband, no sons, no home, no money, no career, no options. So rather than face the scorn of the other women in the early morning, I come to the well when I know it will be deserted, when I can walk without wondering what the others are saying about me. But one day, a man was already sitting by the well when I approached, a Jewish man. I almost turned around without getting water, not knowing what to expect from the one who sat there. Even though it's not far to the well, it was far enough that I didn't want to go home without water. That would require a second trip in the searing sun, so I decided to go on, take care of business, and pretend I didn't see him. It was a total shock to me when he spoke, asking me for a drink of water. I was so startled that the words flew out of my mouth without me even thinking about it. How come you, a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? It sounds rather rude, doesn't it? But it really wasn't normal for a man to ask a woman he didn't know for a drink. It wasn't normal for a man to speak to a woman out in public anyway. And even more so for a Jew to speak to a Samaritan. I expected my answer would put an end to it, but it didn't. He said, if you knew, you'd be asking me for a drink, and I'd give you fresh living water. Well, what a crazy remark that is. In the middle of a desert without any bucket or a cup, he's going to give me a fresh living water. I don't think so. This man talks like one who is out of his mind. And then he continued, anyone who drinks the water I give will never thirst, not ever. The water that I give will be an artesian spring within, gushing fountains of endless life. Maybe crazy, but I wouldn't mind having an artesian spring. So I said, sir, give me some of your water. He said, go call your husband and come back. Should I tell the truth or lie? Well, no one's around to contradict me, but I said, I have no husband. He said, well put. You've had five husbands, and the man you're living with isn't even your husband. I thought to myself, who is this man? First, he speaks when he shouldn't. Then he says things that make no sense. And now he knows things about me that he has no way of knowing. Could he be a prophet? As we continued to talk, my confusion turned into cautious hope. He spoke with such confidence, and his words sounded true. As we talked about the differences between what my people and his held to be necessary, he spoke of a whole new way of worshiping. He spoke of a way that didn't rely upon where we worship, but upon how we worship. And he treated me with respect, as one who was able to talk seriously about our desire to honor God. And as a woman who is seldom respected, I was astonished and I was in awe of this man. And I began to wonder, could it be that he is not just a prophet, but the one for whom we have been waiting? Could he be the one promised by God? Now, while we were still speaking, his companions returned from town, and though they didn't say a word, I knew that they were shocked that he was talking to me, to my kind of woman. Ordinarily, I just would have grabbed my water jug and hurried away, embarrassed and eager to escape before their looks became words or acts of disgust. I would have avoided them, just as I avoided the women who came to the well. But something had changed during my conversation with Jesus. I left, but not out of shame. I hurried, but not to run away. I put down that water jug and I headed for the village. That hope which had grown within me as Jesus spoke, that hope that he was indeed the long-awaited Messiah, the one who would bring salvation not only to the Jews, but also to the Samaritans, who would open the doors of eternal life. That had to be shared. That hope had to be announced to my people, my village. Yes, if what he spoke were to be true words, it would have to be true not only for me, but also for those who had scorned me. Now, with my heart racing, not only from my hurrying, but also from the fear that I might not be heard, that my announcement might be rejected, just as I was rejected, I approached the gathering place in Cerca. Come see a man who knew all about the things I did, who knows me inside and out. Do you think this could be the Messiah? How I ever got the courage to make that invitation is beyond me. I had become so accustomed to living in the shadows, avoiding contact in order to avoid shame. I, who went to the well at noon to avoid the other women, I who was ashamed to be that kind of woman, I who had no business believing that the Messiah would speak to me, I spoke those words. Whether it was shock or curiosity, they listened to what I said that day. They went out to see for themselves. Not only did they see, many committed themselves to him because of what I said about him. For generations, Samaritan and Jews have hated and ignored one another. Perhaps our troubles go all the way back to Jacob, from whose well we drink. Though we disagree about the right place to worship, Jews and Samaritans follow the same God. We may not share the same food, water, or utensils with one another, but our traditions spring from the very same roots. Torah is the book of both Samaritan and Jew. We wait for the Messiah, the promised one, who will deliver us, and we pray that Samaritans will be counted among the faithful. Now this Jesus has come to us, to Samaria, not only to Jerusalem and the Jews. He spoke, "The time is coming. It has in fact come when what you're called will not matter and where you go to worship won't matter. It is you and who you are and the way you live that counts before God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth." That's the kind of people the Father is looking for, those who are simply and honestly themselves before him in worship. Jesus stayed with us for 2 days, and many in the village came to believe in him. They believed not just because of what I said, but because of all that he said, and entrusted their lives to him. As for me, I go no longer to the well at noon. I go in the morning with the other women, and as we walk, we chat about our chores. We chat about our children's antics. We moan about our husband's demands and help one another fill our jugs. I am no longer that woman. Although my status in life hasn't changed, now I am the woman who brought Jesus to our village, the one who was blessed by a conversation with Jesus. I am the one whose life was changed forever because Jesus spoke to me. I am among the ones who entrusted our lives to him and who worship wherever we are, knowing that God looks out for those who seek truth, who are simply and honestly themselves. It's not that far, really, from the village to the well, but one day that walk made all the difference in the world. And I give thanks to the one who met me there, who spoke to me there, and who did indeed fill my life with an artesian spring, gushing fountains of living water, so I will never thirst again. Thanks be to God. Amen.